You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Cynicism may strike some people as justified, but it doesn't do anybody any good.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, give us faith to know you in Jesus Christ, your Son, and to trust you for everything. Give us a good heart to love you and to forgive one another as you have forgiven us. Give us courage to overcome our natural cynicism and to live with joy in your salvation, in Jesus and his saving name, we pray. Amen. A distinguished churchman wrote a letter to Time magazine last year. He said, "The greatest problem ahead of us is the enormous cynicism and suspicion with which we now view politicians in particular and government in general." What is cynicism? The word is very old. It describes the distrust people have of other people's motives. To be cynical is to question the honesty and integrity of others. It is more than doubt. It is downright disbelief that anyone could be honest or mean what he says. Pessimism doubts that there is any uprightness in the world. Cynicism knows that there is none. Every man has his price. It's only a question of finding out what that price is. That's cynicism. An ancient Greek named Diogenes walked through the streets of Athens in Greece in broad daylight carrying a lantern. He said he was looking for an honest man. He was conducting a demonstration to prove something. There is no honesty. Diogenes belonged to a school of thought called cynicism. That's where the word comes from. The movement lasted 800 years before it petered out. But it didn't stop with Diogenes. It didn't stop 800 years later. Cynicism is very much alive today. What we have is a world full of cynics. Jesus Christ was not a cynic. He was not optimistic about man. He did not agree with some of our modern optimists that with man, nothing is impossible. He agreed with the prophets that the only thing possible for man, acting on his own, is defiance of God, disregard of his fellow man, and destruction of himself. St. Paul, quoting the Old Testament, said, "There's none that does good, no, not one." The world is full of people who have gone their own way and imagine there is no other way. "They have all gone astray," said St. Paul. "The poison of asps is under their lips. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. There's no fear of God before their eyes." Jesus Christ was not optimistic about man. He was very optimistic about God. He knew his Father, and he had the grace of God in his own heart. He couldn't put anything past God. "In his heart is grace, and in his hand peace that passes all understanding." Out of his deep understanding of his Father, Jesus Christ gave us his prayer. "Our Father, who art in heaven," he said, "let your name be hallowed, your kingdom come, and your will be done, as it is in heaven, so also upon earth. At the end of the prayer, which he himself prayed and told us to pray, he said, "Do not take us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil." Then he added, for our benefit, "If you forgive men their sins, your Father, who is in heaven, will also forgive yours. If you do not forgive men, neither will your Father forgive your sins." That's straight talk. It's not cynicism. There's redemption in every line. Nor is it optimism to speak about people who always need forgiveness. It's straight talk about people and about God. It recognizes the need for forgiveness on the part of everyone. And it discloses the readiness of God to forgive out of the goodness of his heart, even when you have no right to expect, not to speak about demanding, such forgiveness. People are cynical today. They cannot believe that God can forgive. Even if he could, they say, he wouldn't. That's the way life looks to most people. Even a lot of religious people obviously feel that way. You can see by their actions that they don't really believe that they are forgiven. If they did believe, they wouldn't act as they do. To be cynical is to be convinced that everyone has to look out for himself, that no one could care anything about you. In a way, I can't blame people for being cynical. That's the way life is. People don't want to be cynical. They don't enjoy being cynical. They just can't help it. Jesus Christ felt deep compassion for people like that. The masses of people on earth moved him to compassion. They looked to him like sheep wandering around having no shepherd. They are uncomfortable with their cynicism. They try awfully hard to resist it. Some of them fight it tooth and nail. But somehow, they just can't help giving in to it. On radio and television, as well as through the press, people are bombarded these days with truths, half-truths, and lies. I don't know what advertisers think, but people don't believe a lot of that stuff. The fact is that people don't believe much of anything. They are told there's an oil shortage, but they don't believe it. They hear about a sugar shortage, but they don't believe it. They hear about a paper shortage, but then they receive the word, "Stop collecting those newspapers and magazines because there's too much paper around." About 1.5 years ago, a poll was taken to check the crisis of confidence in the United States. While 33% of those polled expressed confidence in the Supreme Court, about 30% had confidence in the United States Senate, and less than 20% had confidence in the executive branch of the government. That covers all three branches of government in the United States. Not even half the population had confidence in any part of it. The same kind of cynicism spills out into every area of life. People distrust doctors, lawyers, church leaders, educators, businessmen, labor leaders, and just about any group you can think about. They distrust each other. They distrust themselves. Part of the problem with a family these days is that people don't trust each other. Polls can be inaccurate and even wrong. However, they're always interesting and sometimes revealing. Not long ago, a poll was taken on the subject of honesty. It was estimated that about 10% of the people polled were almost always honest. Another 10% gave reason to believe that they were almost always dishonest. The remaining 80% revealed that they were honest or dishonest, depending upon the degree of temptation. If that's the way people are, no wonder they are cynical about others. There is a better way. Cynicism does nothing to improve life. It doesn't help a man much to say to him, "I don't believe a word you say." It may put him on his guard, but it doesn't help him. It's like taking the business route of a main highway that runs right through the middle of the town. You just wind up in a maze of stop signs. There's a better way than cynicism. It's the way of realism. You can't just close your eyes to the lack of integrity in our world. You can't just pretend that people are honest when they are not. You can't pretend to be honest yourself when you are not. I've noticed that some of the most pious people in the world are also some of the most dishonest. They tell you one thing, but they mean another. They put on a good face, but you can see right through that face. Real people who take a realistic view of life confess their sins. They see the pain in the world, and they recognize what they themselves have contributed to it. It's the beginning for going beyond cynicism. In the Sermon on the Mount, from which the Lord's Prayer comes, Jesus Christ tells his people what they are or ought to be. You are the salt of the earth, he said. Behind that statement lies a reality of life. The world is decaying, corrupt, putrid. Jesus Christ did not sugarcoat that fact. The world needs salt. Jesus Christ told his people, you are the light of the world. Behind that statement lies something very real. Our world is in darkness. It is in the dark about God, and it is in the dark about itself. Our world needs light. The only light it will ever get is from the one who made light in the first place. One of Christ's men said after he found light in the one place where it can be found, the great God who first said, let there be light, has shined into our hearts and given us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Cynicism may strike people as justified because it sees things as they really are. But it doesn't help people. It just makes them complainers, whiners, and misfits. Thinking they understand everything, they understand nothing. If there's anything beyond cynicism, they misunderstand that too. The only people they can understand are the ones who agree with them. Two cynics produce a very fine stew. I've known some very fine people in this world of ours. They weren't always the most cultured people, the most educated, the most refined. Some of them were very rough, but you could trust them with your life because they had something. They had gone beyond cynicism. They trusted in God. They knew something, something very great. If you asked them what it was, some of them would have had a hard time articulating it, but they could tell you maybe in a word of Scripture. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This was not just theology to them, but a living, personal faith. They believed it. They put their whole confidence in God. They knew him as they would know their own father and mother. They knew him in Jesus Christ, whom they knew as their own brother or sister. They had something, and that made all the difference in the world. They got out of that mess with all the stoplights. And they get out there on the highway, going strong with faith that is really true. God loves. God forgives. God gives life. They knew it in Jesus Christ. People like that can pray. Don't take us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. They can understand what Christ says. If you forgive men their sins, your Father in heaven will also forgive your sins. They also get what he's saying when he puts the thing squarely before every one of us. If you do not forgive men, your Father will not forgive you. Jesus Christ was not cynical. He was realistic. I know it's hard to believe, but there it is. It's in Jesus Christ. He's the one to believe. You can have confidence in him. You can trust him. That's faith, the kind God gives people in this dark and thoughtless world of ours. Faith that believes God forgives out of the goodness of his heart alone, not because we forgive somebody else, but because he wants to forgive. And he gives us the power to forgive. Martin Luther once said, if I were God, I would dig a big hole about a cubic mile and shove the whole human race into it, cover them up, and forget about it. Martin Luther exaggerated to make a point. It wasn't that he was cynical. He understood people and how they think. That's the way people think when it comes to solving a problem. God could have solved the problem of the world that way, but he didn't. He's different. He loves. He loves all kinds of people. The cynical, the insincere, the untrustworthy, the dishonest, the evil, the suspiciously pious. His Son died for them all, including you and me. There was a man named Peter. Picking his disciples, Jesus Christ could have said, this man is going to deny me someday. I'm not going to take him. There was a man named Matthew. Jesus Christ could have said about him, this man is from a disreputable profession. He's got to be dishonest. I won't take him. There was a man named Judas. Jesus Christ could have said about him, this man is going to betray me and turn me into my enemies. I won't take him. Others might have done otherwise. But Jesus Christ took all three. He loves as nobody else loves. He loves as God loves. In this, the love of God was made known to us. Not that we love God, but that he loves us and gave his only Son to be a substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. That Son, with all confidence in his Father and in all obedience to his Father, went the way he had to go. He prayed, don't take us into temptation from which we can never come out, but deliver us from the evil. the evil one and the evil that is done in the world. That's not cynicism. That's the utmost realism, the utmost confidence in God. It is not optimism about man, but it is optimism about God. That's what our world needs. That's the salt. That's the light. You may not know what is behind the door, but there's one thing you can know in Jesus Christ. The door is open. In faith, you walk through, and you find out. There may be no roses alongside the road, but the road is there. It's the road of faith. You walk it by faith. You walk through the door by faith. Then you find out. If you want to go beyond the cynicism of the world, that's the way. Have faith in Jesus Christ. That's what he meant when he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You find it out for yourself by faith. I'm told by a friend of a 62-year-old retired man in a hospital that he was dreaming dreams and doubting that they would ever come true. This is a man of faith, faith in Jesus Christ. And this is what he says. I'm not pleased, happy, or comfortable with it all, but I can put up with it. That may not sound like much to some people, but it's the greatest thing there is. It's life. It is freedom from the haunting guilt of the past and the haunting fear of the future. It's life, right here and now. It's life that can truly be called eternal. Too many people go around with a jacket that is too tight. Some of them are in straitjackets. A good many people think of faith in God as a straitjacket. That is probably the ultimate expression of the cynicism of our time. Let God give you a jacket, my friend, the kind he gives. St. Paul called it the righteousness of Christ. Put on the clothes of the new man in Christ, he said. It gives you freedom to do what must be done. It leaves you free to live. It gives you freedom to stretch beyond the cynicism which constrains, constricts, and finally confounds. It's the freedom of God in Jesus Christ. It overcomes fear. It overcomes the bind of temptation and delivers from the threat of evil. It overcomes the cynical certainty that evil will win out. It won't. God is in control, and Jesus Christ is in charge. Faith in him goes beyond cynicism. It has courage to forgive as God forgives. Only people of faith can really forgive. Only people of faith can save a marriage by forgiveness. Only parents with faith can save a true relationship with their children by forgiveness. Only children with faith can help parents over the tough spots with forgiveness. What the world needs is the salt and the light of faith. Faith that knows the forgiveness of God and has the courage to forgive. Amen.